Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wild Horse and Burro Radio, an educational outreach program of Wild Horse Freedom Federation. Tonight, our guests are Nancy Turner, president of This Old Horse, a Minnesota volunteer-based nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide sanctuary to retired, rescued, and recovering horses. And also, back again, Elaine Nash, founder and director of Fleet of Angels, a nonprofit organization with thousands of on-call members across the U.S. and Canada who offer crisis management and transportation assistance during equine-related emergencies, as well as other services. Our listeners will be invited to call in and ask our guests any questions about halfway through the show. I'll make an announcement. And anyhow, I'm very excited. This is Nancy Turner's first time on the show tonight. So welcome to the show, Nancy.
Thank you for having me.
I think before we start talking about the horses that need adopting, I'd kind of like you and Elaine, like I'll let you kick it off. Tell us a little bit about This Old Horse.
We are an accredited sanctuary founded in 2012, so we just had our fifth anniversary. And we started as a retirement program for horses who worked. We saw the unwanted horse is one that has been a show horse or a broodmare or any horse, any athlete that's aged out. And we thought that they had a lot to offer therapy horses and so on, even if they couldn't do their full-time job anymore, like the Walmart greeters, we thought. Mm-hmm. And after a year of that, then we had room for some horses that needed rescuing, and mostly from starvation when the prices of hay went so high in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So we opened our barn doors up, and they came in, and we found that we had great success with them, their recovery, but also we were so humbled by how wonderful they were. So we have just as many rescues or hardship surrenders now as we do the retirement program. It's kind of split 50-50.
And, okay, we're going to get back to that because, I have a lot of things that questions I want to ask you, but I'll bring Elaine in. And Elaine, tell us everyone a little bit about Fleet of Angels. Elaine, did we lose Elaine? Hello?
Can you hear me?
I think we just lost Deb.
Oh.
Wait a minute, there she's coming. Maybe that's her coming back up. Deb?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't either. I just saw you blink off the board, sweetie. Okay, go
ahead.
Yeah,
I lost it. Anyhow, Elaine, why don't you tell us a little bit about Fleet of Angels?
I think we lost her, too. Good
okay.
Lord.
I'm still
wait a
here.
Minute. Wait a minute. I think I got her back. Hang on, Elaine.
Can you hear me?
Yes. We can hear you now.
Okay. Hi. I don't know what happened.
Me either.
They lost me too. Anyhow, Elaine, tell everybody a bit about Fleet of Angels.
Fleet of Angels is a not-for-profit organization. We're about 5 years old. And we're made up of thousands and thousands and thousands of people all over the United States and Canada, most of whom have horse trailers or facilities to offer to help us in situations where we're helping at-risk equines. So if you have a horse that needs to get to the vet quickly and you don't have a trailer, you can call Fleet of Angels. Or if you live in Oklahoma and there's a tornado headed your way or has gone through your area and you need assistance, you can call us. We assist with transporting horses out of the path of hurricanes, out of the path of fires. We rescue horses from floods and get them out of flood zones. And we also, if someone is saving a horse in their area that's starving or has been abused and it's been seized or the owner is giving it up for some reason and it needs transportation, then Fleet of Angels can assist with getting getting the horse moved. The other thing we do is we manage large equine emergency events where a lot of horses are in trouble at once and they need someone to take a leadership role and help organize services and systems and transportation and whatever is needed for large numbers of horses like that. So it may be 200 burros being saved from a BLM program to send them to Guatemala to be some burden and food and finding homes for them all over the country. It may be the horses like we have now, we're calling the Hallelujah horses, that are started out with 907 horses that were at risk and needed homes, and everything in between.
How many of the ISPMB horses still need to be adopted, Elaine, at this point?
Of the 907, as soon as we get all the horses that people have pledged to take, and we have a wonderful sanctuary in California that's pledged to take 20 more, and we'll be transporting those out next week. We have a rescue in Arizona taking 30 or more horses. Those will be transporting soon. And as soon as those horses and the people who have spoken to horses so far have the horses on the way, we will be under the 100 mark for horses left to adopt.
Wow. We can do it, everybody. We can do it. Share links to the show.
We can do it.
Yeah, and go to the website, and, you know, even if you can't adopt one yourself, get the word out there. I know if we
Absolutely.
All put our heads to it, we can get the last of them to a good home.
Here's the thing. We all talk about how horse slaughter is not a needed option for how to deal with the overpopulation or the excess or unwanted, however you want to call it, with the problem of too many horses. We all in this network of advocates talk about how slaughter isn't needed as an option. Well, this was a situation where there were 907 horses at a sanctuary that failed, and those horses were slaughter-bound. And we saved them from slaughter. We're getting them to homes. But this is the chance for us to prove that if we can place 907 horses in homes from one facility, then we absolutely can place 2 or 3 or 10 or 12 at a time scattered all over the country. The whole point of doing this, besides saving these 900 particular horses, is to set an example of how teamwork works, how if we will come together and offer the talents and services and whatever we each have to offer together in a united way, we can get all these horses into homes, and we don't need slaughter as an option.
If we can't do this, maybe slaughter is needed.
You know, that's what our enemies will say.
If we can't do this, so we're doing this. I won't go there. We're doing it. We're going to do it. How did you meet Nancy? How did you guys meet?
Well, she's an angel who floated down from heaven.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I was just going through my day, just going through my normal day at some point in the past, and this angel floated down out of heaven in front of me. She's one of my favorite people in the whole world at this point because she got in touch with us, interested in adopting what, Nancy, a couple of horses?
Two mares.
She was going to adopt two mares from this mission. How many have you either, Nancy, at this point, how many do you have or have committed to at this point from this particular mission?
At this point right now, we have 19. And we have, yeah, I know. Remember that? It was two mares. Well, I connected with Elaine through Facebook. We were Facebook friends. And when I heard about the South Dakota mission, I contacted her to say that we had a sanctuary in Minnesota. If we could get a couple of mares, we would have room for them. And then she said, okay, you know, right away we connected. That would be terrific. And then I contacted her again and said, since we have a sanctuary for special needs horses, that we would prefer an older or unadoptable, traditionally, in a traditional sense, horse, because the ones that were likely to go to slaughter, and lots of them were likely to go to slaughter, I thought that's the horses that would have a more chance of finding homes. So since that's what we do, then I said we could take some special needs, two special needs mares. Like I was picturing maybe arthritis or, you know, you know what I'm doing. So that turned into, how about seven blind stallions?
All right. That's an easy transition from a couple of mares to seven blind stallions.
Yeah, so somehow, knowing Elaine as you do, that seemed to be a natural leap for her.
Sorry.
And for some reason, I thought, yeah, okay. It just so happened we could probably do that because of some of our foster hosts just connected with us and said we could take some into foster, and then that would leave us some room at the sanctuary. And one thing led to another, and that turned into seven plus two on that trailer, who were mares. I will give her that. There were two mares on that trailer.
Well, we did want you to have your two mares.
You got that check. and then a little while later, it was like, by the way, there's one more. And the stallions were blind. The mares were not. Then it was, well, we have a blind mare out of that Gila, group, and then her companion. And so that was two more mares. Okay. And then could we send some more with you to get placed to some of our Minnesota adopters? And that was five more in that trailer. That was seven. Oh, my goodness. So
why
she's
one of my favorite people.
Well, how are the blind horses doing, Nancy? Tell us a little bit
Terrific.
About blind horses.
Well, we had some blind horses in our sanctuary already. So we had some pipe fencing set up and, you know, some habitat already created for blind horses. And so, but we had never had any wild horses before, nor had we had any stallions. So we had a big outdoor arena, kind of. It's a big space, 200 by 100, that was pipe fenced. And we just put the stallions together in there. And when they first got there, they came off the trailer. And just the little things you don't realize, that they couldn't see the edge of the trailer. And they kind of stumbled out. And my heart just lurched because I was, what have we done? You know, this is breaking my heart. And they clustered together just in one little cluster. And then we had hay spread out. And then they moved like the Keystone Cops just in one clump. So they all went to one flake of hay. And then they all went chunked over to the next one. And it was comical. And then they found the water. And it was automatic water. We just let them kind of explore. But they did everything as a group. And then they found, and you know what, automatic water has about a 12-inch, you know, bowl kind of that keeps refilling. And they would dip their head in and then pull their head way up so another one could dip in. It was like watching birds at a feeder. They would just peck at it because they they just all were there at the same time. And so at first I had just great fear that we had done the wrong thing. And then we just let them be them. They knew each other. They had been together. And they just figured it out. And we just got out of their way. And they figured out the parameters, and within no time they were exploring. They kind of split up, and like literally they trot and canter, and you know, use the whole space. And they're absolutely lovely. And it watching them has been just getting to know them just from a distance has been kind of the most moving experience of my whole life. So it's simple. Horses are horses, and they act like horses, and you let them be horses and give them a safe place to do it. They are no trouble at all.
And they kind of buddy up still, right? Even if they're exploring, they kind of buddy up.
Yeah, they always kind of come back to the middle, like all horses. You know, they kind of they lay down and they have, you know how horses have the sentinel when one lays down and they have somebody watching out for danger? Mm-hmm. And they do that, mm-hmm. which is comical because none of them can see. And so they still have behavior.
Well, he's awake to feel what's going on.
Yeah. That's right. They can get the vibe and alert their friends.
Right. He's listening, maybe.
Yeah.
So Nancy, bless her little heart. We, you know, she really needs to go to a seminar on learning to say no, because I just asked her to take another fairly significant group of horses we call the war horses, and she, bless her heart, in a moment of weakness, agreed to do that too. So we have,
Nancy, you better not pick up your phone anymore.
I already know that, and I did it anyway.
We have.
Well,
there were,
tell us a little bit about the war horses.
There were four horses. They're gelding. There were four
uh-huh.
horses in South Dakota in a separate pasture from any of the other horses. And
uh-huh.
it's a group of elderly gentlemen from the White Sands Missile Range. One of
uh-huh.
them, he's between 30 and 40 years old. We call him Warrior.
Wow.
And Warrior has a cavalry brand on his left hip. And those horses, a couple of them, are really broad. They're not necessarily really tall, but they're just as broad as a barn and strong horses. And they are descendants of the horses used in the military for pulling horse-drawn cannons and other military use.
Mm-hmm,
and so
mm-hmm.
They were on the White Sands Range and were separated from the other general White Sands herd because of their direct descendancy back to the real war horses, and then
mm-hmm.
Warrior, of course, with his cavalry brand. So we don't know. Warrior may actually at some point have been trained and used by the cavalry, you know, for exhibitions and things like that, not like...
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not old enough to be in the, Indian Wars or anything, but
mm-hmm.
In exhibitions and things like that. But what they did at White Sands was they would turn their military horses out onto the rest of the property, and the wild horse herd developed from them and from other historically wild horses in New Mexico. So these guys are sort of celebrities with us, and Warrior made a really good friend who wasn't one of the war horses, and the two of them just are like Siamese twins now. And then up in South Dakota, there was one horse. The war horse's pasture was separate from the White Sands horse pasture, separated only by a barbed wire fence. And there was one horse that was a sorrel, big, strong sorrel horse with stocking legs and a white face, who stood by that fence all the time. He left the rest of the White Sands herd and stood by the fence over by where the war horse's pasture was. And all he cared about was being as close to them as he could. And we don't really know why, but when we moved
mm-hmm.
all these horses from South Dakota to Colorado, they finally got to be together in the same pasture, in the
mm-hmm.
same pen. So now we have the four war horses and Warrior's best friend and the big red sorrel horse that wants to be a war horse. And they all get to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And they all now get to go to Nancy's house.
Oh, good.
We're so excited because one of the things that matters so much, we're doing what we're doing on this for these horses and for their happiness. We want to feel like we're sort of making up to them for what had been done to them in the past. And so
uh-huh.
we put a lot of effort into helping keep little family groups together and we don't want anyone to adopt a horse without taking another horse from its herd, so that two horses go together, so that they don't go from a herd life they've known all their lives to being stuck in a rolling can and hauled off to somewhere without ever seeing anyone they've spent their whole lives with again. So we put a lot of effort into that, but it's not that easy to find a home for six senior citizens, you know? And so the fact that the war
unless horse you have Nancy's phone number.
I just disconnected all my phones and to find
that's right.
Unless you want to foster for us then.
That's right. Well, we'll go to work on helping you find new foster families. When you start saying no, we'll figure out how to get you back to yes again. So anyway, I just am delighted that Nancy took the seven blind stallions who were friends and who had been together for a long time and knew each other and depended on each other, and now she's taking the war horses and their friends, and they'll have the same opportunity to be together also. And it's just one of my favorite things about this whole
thing. Yeah, and it's really great to hear. You know, you hear, oh, wild stallions, but like Nancy said, you know, you just let them do their thing. They're very easy, you know. They're just you letting them be them.
Wild
stallions
that don't have mares with them are like geldings.
That's right. You know, the other thing that we learned, you know, when we take care of horses, and these are horses, and they hadn't been handled, but the thing that's been very interesting to us is that as we've gotten to know them, they have their own culture. They have a wild horse culture. And they don't, my own mare had a baby, and since the minute she was born, she's had people around her, and she sees people as part of her life. But these wild horses that haven't had that, they don't see much of a need for people. You know what? It's like your server at your restaurant that you don't invite your server to join you for dinner. You just say, thank you, that's all, and away you go. So when people want to pet and touch and lead the wild horses around, the horses are kind of like, why? Just give us the food and go. So it's not a matter of them being resistive. It's just a matter of almost their confusion of why humans want to be in their space if they have what they need. Each other. So I think part of the issue, like when Elaine says adopting too, that when they're together with if you will, like an immigrant or someone that knows their culture and speaks their language, it's just very simple. And when they separate, they're anxious because even the other domestic horses don't speak the exact same language as that. It's not that they don't fit in, but it's nice for them to have a horse that has their same culture to help them integrate, is what we find. So our original thought, we would integrate them with our mares. When the mares came, we put them in with the mares. And that works as long as there's more than one of them together. And so we're being very respectful of that whole thing and learning a lot from it too. And they're very amenable. The other thing, when you're working with them, if their attention will be focused on their friend more than the human, which is different for training than a lot of people find just training foals or whatever, that you will have their attention. So you have to kind of keep them in an area separate but within a sight line, so to get their attention focused on you, because they really, ours at least, don't really see humans as being very useful to them.
In the wild, their life depends on each other. So they are, you know, that's how they survive in the wild. They depend on each other. And, if, you know, so they are going to keep an eye on their, you know, protector.
And it makes perfect sense. And it's really exciting to learn about that by watching them, too.
When a human enters their world, like when we send two horses to someone, when that person tries to learn their language and develop a language with the wild horses that makes sense to the horses, where when you want to become a partner with these horses, they're happy to accept you as a member of their herd or as a partner unless you give them a reason not to. So the old cowboy style of whip and spur and buck them out and then make them do what you want, people can use those techniques and literally break these horses that way. But those horses will never, ever give you the best they have. But when you have two of these horses so that they feel secure in their space and they can nest in and you can integrate yourself into their herd, and then you train them using positive reinforcement, reward every try, don't punish the mistakes, and the horse learns a language that you develop with them, they will do absolutely anything they can and give you the best they have of themselves. We've seen it over and over now over the months with people who are training these horses. So this natural horsemanship style of training where you use language and love and leadership with your in your training program instead of control and force, these horses are turning out to be amazing horses. They gentle down much more quickly than people think. You know, we have pictures of women 80 years old who've adopted horses, and within a couple of weeks they're sending me pictures of them grinning with their arms around the horse's neck and the horse is just digging it, you know. But it's because of the approach that's used with the horses, and it helps so much for these horses to have another horse from their herd there just so that they know it's over there in the background, they'll be back with it, and that you're not trying to separate them from what matters to them and makes them care about you. You know, it works amazingly well when you use that kind of approach with the horses.
I'm going to quickly jump in here just to remind our listeners that they can call in with any questions that they might have. You can just dial 917-388-4520 and then press 1 and ask our guests any questions you might have. Where are the horses right now again, Elaine? Where are the groups of horses that you have?
We have a fantastic adoption hub set up in Fort Collins, Colorado. We transported the 312 horses that had not been adopted while we were in South Dakota to Fort Collins to a facility that used to belong, it belongs to a man who used to be a rodeo contractor, and he had bucking bulls and bronc. And so he has this facility built with these really nice, strong pens and gates everywhere and alleyways everywhere. And it works so beautifully for us because we can move horses from any one pen to any other pen through these nice alleyways and gate systems. And there are shelters and windbreaks and automatic waterers, and the horses get all the hay they want to eat all day and all night. They have clean, fresh water every day, and people can come and see the horses. We still have them divided by the herds. We have White Sands mares and White Sands geldings. We have Sheldon mares and geldings. We have Virginia Range mares. All of the Virginia Range stallions were gelded and were adopted by Madeline Pickens and now are at Mustang Monument in Nevada. And it was incredible to see video of these geldings, formerly stallions, who had literally lived their whole lives in a pen at ISPMB about the size of a rodeo arena. Over 100 horses had lived their entire lives, most of them. A few had been brought in, you know, as the original wild horses, and then they had babies who had babies who had babies over the years. Excuse me. But they had stood there with no shelter whatsoever, in sun and wind and rain and 50 below zero temperatures and blizzards year after year. And then we got them, we had them gelded, They were transported in two semi-trucks to Mustang Monument. And when they were released onto her facility that's, you know, I don't know how many miles long and how many miles wide, but it's huge. Her other horses that were already there on the property came up to meet the new horses. And these horses that we sent came down off the truck and kind of milled around with all these other horses for a minute. And then they all turned and took off at a dead run as hard as they could run toward the other side of the ranch. And I was just thinking, how incredible was that for those horses? Mm-hmm. With wild horse DNA, who'd been raised in a concentration camp their whole lives, to finally get to be free and run like the wild horses they were meant to be. So that was one of the most wonderful things that happened in this mission. The Virginia Range mares that were the mares to those stallions are being adopted out in groups of two or more to individuals. And they're big, beautiful bay, mostly bay horses. The horses that we brought down here, they're not like people think, like kind of maybe little scrawny Indian pony looking horses. These are nice, big, stout. They look like quarter horse show horses.
And they're in pretty good. Are they in pretty good health now?
Well, let me tell you, $380,000 worth of hay does a world of good for starving horses. you know, the horses were seized from ISPMB permanently at the end of January. They were impounded in October of last year, and then. Permanently removed from them in a settlement the day before a hearing that was would have removed them anyway. But those horses have been fed all they want to eat since that happened. And Fleet of Angels and our partner organizations like Return to Freedom and that's Neta DeMayo, everybody knows, and then Humane Society and ASPCA and Patricia Griffin Soffel, who has just started a new equine rescue foundation, have funded the hay bill that released the lien on the horses that the two counties had that stopped the slaughter auction. So those horses have had all that hay to eat, and then we have raised funds to feed these horses ever since. And it literally is, I mean, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars of hay these horses have eaten, and they've gone from body scale 1 and 2, a lot of them, to these big, robust horses that look like they kind of need to go on a diet. It's just incredible, the difference. And so what we've done is we fed all these horses back to health before they left South Dakota to come to Colorado. Each horse went through the process with a veterinarian there and had Coggins tests done. So we have Coggins papers that we paid $60 a piece for. Those we give to adopters when they come get the horses. Each horse has been microchipped for identity. So that was done at a cost of $20 a piece for us, and the microchips were donated by the Avid company that manufactures them. And so when someone comes to look at these horses and chooses the horses they want, what they pay is if they're further than 75 miles distance from Fort Collins, we have to have the health certificate done by the vet. And then every horse leaving, we have to have a health a brand inspection. And that's the only cost. You take two horses from here, we've spent about $700 turning them from skin and bones into these gorgeous creatures, and it will cost you about $72 for these horses.
Wow. That's great.
Well, it may not be the best business model in the world to spend $700
well,
on 900 things that you give away.
Though. You say you worked out, everybody chipped in, and they're not going to slaughter.
They are not going to slaughter. That's absolutely right.
And people are
right.
Getting wonderful horses.
Yeah, they are. They're getting horses that are much more beautiful than they really expected them to be. We have a lot of pregnant mares, so anyone who's interested in starting from scratch with a baby, Nancy might tell us a little bit about how much fun that is. She has a new baby at her place. but we have a bunch of pregnant mares that look like they're just about to pop any minute. But, you know, if you don't live too far away, we can probably get her to you safely before she hatches. Yeah, so.
Give people a way to contact you, Elaine, if they want to come look at the horses or if they think they might like to adopt and would like to call you with more questions. How can they contact you?
Well, we have the fleetofangels.org website. And at the very top of the homepage on the website, we have all the links for the adoption application and the donation link and information about what this is and a link to the Facebook page. One of the very best places to see what's going on and get updates, see some pictures of the different groups of horses and things like that is on our Facebook page called the Hallelujah Horses the Hallelujah Horses, parentheses, horses seized from IFPMB. But I think if you just did a search on Facebook for the Hallelujah Horses, I think you'd find our page. And that's that's kind of our home base for social media for all of this. And then fleetofangels.org, the website, has all those links. My email address is holdyourhorses@aol.com. People can write me and ask for an application. And also, you can friend me on Facebook. I sometimes have to go in and delete a few people who aren't very involved in my world to make room for more because I have like 5,000 people. But if someone wants to friend me, I'll try to make it possible.
Kick someone else off.
I'll kick someone off who I've never heard from.
Not such a good friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Really.
Taking 19 horses. I'm still on.
Yeah. Well, I'll make sure I don't remove Nancy Turner from my list. So there are several ways. We also have our adoption manager for this is Barbara Rasmussen. And Barbara's on Facebook, and she even lets me give out her phone number. So let me look it up
for
a second, and I'll tell you her phone number. Let's see. Okay, Barbara's phone number is 928-978-3417. So Barbara is two things to us. Three things. She's a tremendous friend to this campaign. She's the adoption manager. She reviews all of the applications and helps determine who's really set up appropriately to have these horses at their, you know, to make sure the fences and the shelter is there and they're not kill buyers or kill buyer agents and things like that. She checks out what grades they made in junior high because we think that's important. She can find out anything about you, though. I'll tell you, if you have a hidden pass and you apply to adopt some of these horses, you better be ready because she'll find out whatever it is that you're trying to hide from the world.
You've got a mugshot on the internet. She'll
That's
find
right.
it.
She will find it. She will find it. And she also is sort of our historian because she's read a lot about these horses and she's studied a lot. She also spent some time at ISPMB living in the house with the director as a guest while we were getting horses adopted out at the very beginning of this campaign. Adoptions at that point were going straight through ISPMB, so our only access to the applications and the process to get the horses moved out of there was through the ISPMB director. So Barbara was literally in, embedded in that situation and helped get the first horses adopted. And in the process had an opportunity to learn about the history of each of these four herds that were there. So when people have questions about the horses, you know, what herd is, you know, different, whatever questions there are about them and the history, she's the person to ask about that.
Good, good. And these are, like Nancy, these are really smart horses, right?
They are. They're smart. And the thing when you're training them, you don't really move backwards very far. They just keep moving forward. They remember. They're curious. They're smart. And they have great instincts, you know. So it's pretty exciting and actually quite moving when you gain their trust and they're remarkable. It's quite an experience. I think people who think they know a lot about horses that haven't had a chance to work with a wild horse would find it to be a completely exhilarating experience.
Good,
it's just different enough to be so satisfying. And it's not easy, and it shouldn't be. It should be. It should take all our skills, and it does, and it's a big payoff.
Well, and I'm glad, you know, I'm so glad to hear that natural horsemanship, you know, working with positive reinforcement really helps gain their trust. And, you know, in the end, you get a much better working relationship with them. So.
Go ahead. Well, our goal, too, is that, you know, we don't have a set goal in mind that every horse is going to achieve these X milestones, that we're going to take it where it goes with them. Because we have a sanctuary, you know, we don't need to flip them or adopt them out or, you know, have any expectation. So it gives us a lot of freedom. Like with the stallions, who they are is just fine, and they're well-adapted and well-suited to the life that they have. So our work with them is more in able to provide health care and hoof care for them to get them approachable enough that we can do that. But as far as like training them to lunge or go under saddle, that's not an aspiration of ours whatsoever with them.
Yeah.
Whereas some of our younger Virginia range mares that are, as Elaine said, like they're just stunning kind of stock type horses, smart and beautiful, soft eye, you know, for them, absolutely that could be a goal for them. So it's not a one size fits all. You have to get to know them and, you know, and see.
And maybe people that are interested in adopting, maybe they just have a lot of land and they'd like to, you know, provide care for them. And then maybe there's other people that, you know, might like to ride them. So they might want a younger horse or
maybe
one of the babies that's going to be born.
So that's how we feel too, is that each horse is unique and there's enough variety that you should be able to find anything you want. And if you just like to look out your window at beautiful horses and make sure that they're well cared for and don't have any expectations of them other than that they, you know, behave themselves, that's a great horse to have too. People say, what do you do with your horses? And I say, what do you do with your dog?
Yeah.
you just love them and take care of them. Like what expectations do you have of your dog? That's about it. Horses, that's fine. That's plenty.
One of the things
there were a lot of people, you know, you were talking about the teamwork. There were a lot of people that have worked on this, right?
Oh my gosh. I wish I had a list to just start reading names, but it would take more than the hour for the show. So many people have participated, so many, you know, the big organizations, small organizations, someone who is sort of new to this world, just sent us $1,000 a few minutes before the show started just because she really believes in what we're doing. She knows that the funds are going to a good cause. And, you know, that kind of participation is mm-hmm. absolutely key to the success of this. It's extremely expensive to do this. It's the largest rescue of horses in the history of the country, we're told. That makes it also the most expensive. And so people have donated from $5 to $50,000 or more. Mm-hmm. And without that kind of participation from lots and lots of people, this simply could not have happened. Without the people who are adopting horses, a lot of the people who are adopters weren't out walking around the countryside saying, I wonder where I could find some wild horses to adopt. they just saw the need, right, Nancy? They saw the need. They appreciate the effort. They understand the importance of the mission, and they step up to participate.
Yeah, I think we have someone calling in. Let's take this question really quick. Do we have a caller?
Yes, ma'am. This is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Elaine. Hi, Nancy.
Barbara, this is Barbara Rasmussen, our adoption manager.
Yay.
And our general all-around hero.
I just wanted to say when Nancy was talking about the Gilas and how they moved as one, I was there when the first load went to Nancy. I helped load those horses, and I was so excited to know that they were going to such a wonderful place. They're beautiful horses and very special to me. So I just want to say thank you.
Oh, they're still doing terrific. They're beautiful, just beautiful and funny, and I love them.
They are. They're amazing horses. I call them magical. They are amazing.
We think that enough time has gone. We think that enough time has gone by now that those horses probably have Nancy fairly well trained.
I think so
too. My happy place.
Just want to say thank you to Elaine and to Nancy for taking on this huge rescue and working to get all these horses safe.
Yeah, you know, people don't realize it's been months and months and months and months and months that they've been working, you know, zillions of hours. So, yeah, it's a big undertaking.
I haven't been home. I haven't been home in something like 140 days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did get
She's
to go
the
home
real
for.
Hero.
I went to go. I got to go home for less than 24 hours for my son's college graduation. But I was back in my little hotel room near the horses by that night. And other than that, I haven't been home since the end of January.
Wow.
Barbara was gone from home for months. She was in South Dakota before I got there, and then she came back with me when I went up at the end of January. Then she came with me to Fort Collins, Colorado, and stayed for quite a while, and then had to go back home, but she's still involved as adoption manager remotely from Arizona. But she was, I don't even know how many days she was gone from home as well. And what people need to realize is call us foolish, but none of us are being paid for any of this.
It's a labor of love.
It is a labor of love. We're doing what we're doing because we know it needs to happen. Someone has to be foolish enough to agree to do it, and we're doing it. But it certainly, we're not, you know.
Well,
at the end of
again,
this, I won't have made a penny.
Yeah, well, it's about finding homes for the horses. And I'm again going to ask our listeners, you know, share links to the Hallelujah Horses Facebook page. Everybody you know. And then when you send them the link, ask them to share it. You know, we get enough places. You know, hopefully we can get the rest of these horses adopted. And let Elaine go home for a little bit.
That would be wonderful. I would like for Elaine to go home for a while. She deserves
yeah.
it. I will hang up so in case there's somebody else that wants to call in. But I just wanted to say thank you to Nancy and
thank
to
you,
Elaine
Barbara.
Again. So,
we love
well, thank
you,
thank
you.
We'll talk soon.
So, thanks, Barbara.
Love you guys. You're welcome.
Barbara's awesome. I would like to. I'd like to mention that Return to Freedom adopted the entire Gila herd to give them all a home, and they're in a fabulous sanctuary in Northern California at this point, and they're working with.
Is the public going to be able to go to that sanctuary ever? Do they do tours?
I don't think so. It's a kind of a mountainous area, and it's a private property separate from the other Return to Freedom Sanctuary property, which is more in Southern California.
Yeah, well, it's in Lompoc, around Lompoc, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
I don't
closer
know
to Santa Barbara.
I don't know that they have any plans to do any tours or anything, but I've seen photographs, and those horses are in heaven on earth. And they're working with Barbara. Barbara has launched the Gila Herd of Arizona Foundation with the goal of buying some property in Arizona to bring some of those horses back to Arizona for the first time. This is the last group of Gila horses in the world. And, there are a lot of people in Arizona who'd love to have some of them back. And so that's something that Return to Freedom and the Healer Foundation that Barbara founded are working on together for a plan for the future.
Oh, good, good.
So, it's all about the horses to us.
It is, us too. We're on about our last 5 minutes of the show, so I'm going to, ask Nancy. Again, Nancy's organization is This Old Horse, and... Nancy, do you have any closing statements you want to make or anything you forgot to tell everybody?
Well, the one thing when you were asking about can people come and see the horses in the sanctuary, our sanctuary is, we're 40 acres, so our horses are very visible and very accessible to people. And when we got them, our newspaper and TV did some stories about them, about the mission and about our involvement in it. And we had an open house a few weeks after they came, and we had 700 people come to see them. Because we don't have wild horses in Minnesota, wild on the range. And so it's really been an exciting opportunity for education for us to educate our community in Minnesota about just how approachable and wonderful they are and fascinating. So
now,
how
far are you from St. Paul, Minneapolis?
We are a suburb of St. Paul. We are about within 20 minutes of St. Paul. And about 30 minutes from Minneapolis.
You're close to our producer, Marty, too. Marty, you'll have to go sometime on a tour.
Yes, Marty.
Marty, are you there? Oh, we lost her. Anyhow. Oh. Well, and Elaine, do you have any kind of a wrapping up things you want to say?
Only to say that we appreciate Nancy and people like Nancy so tremendously, because they're helping, with this whole teamwork works attitude of saving all these horses. And we invite anyone who's interested in helping be a part of the largest rescue of horses in the history of this country. Come and see the horses. We can't post photographs and sort of sell them in an online catalog because I don't mean sell them, but adopt them. And because people come every day, choose horses, take horses, so you really have to just come and see the horses. But, we need donations to keep the hay in front of these horses. We need adopters to keep adopting to come and get horses. Some of the most beautiful horses of the 900 are still here because we didn't adopt out based on come see 900 horses and choose the prettiest ones. We adopted the horses out as we were able to bring them in from these pastures and small groups at a time. And so it's not as though they've really been picked over. So this is really a nice chance for people to come. We have all these alleyways between the pens so people can come and just stand and watch the horses and spend some time getting a feel for the horses. If a staff member is with them, they can walk out into the pens and we can move the horses around for them to see. So, I mean, it's a really a rare opportunity to have this kind of access to this number of horses and then choose. I mean, how cool is it to get to just go in and these pens and walk around and choose your horses to take home, you know? Choose come choose your wild horses.
And you probably
horses.
Don't care if they stay all day and watch, you know.
No, it's fine. And we have a we have a beautiful chute loading system so that we bring the horses in, we scan the microchips in their neck, we get the coggins for you, the brand inspector and the vet come. They're awesome guys. They work with us really closely and really well. You back your trailer up, we slide open the gate from the chute, and they just literally step right up onto the trailer. It's like you wouldn't believe, it's amazing. They just jump into the trailer every time. There's no stress, no hassle, and off you go. And it's the that is the beginning of a journey that will change your life, you know? When those horses step on your trailer, you're off on a journey that you will be so glad you took.
Well, that's great. And we're on the last couple of minutes now, so I want to thank both of you for being on the show and for everything that you're doing from all of us. And actually, I want to adopt and thank everyone out there, people that adopted, people that did any and all volunteer work on this. A huge thank you from all of us. And I want to so thank you for being on the show. And I wanted to remind our listeners that next week, Wild Horse and Burro Radio, our guest is going to be Bonnie Gestring with Earthworks, and she's going to be talking about how mining is contaminating the waters of the United States. It should be a really interesting show. And there are two other shows on TS Radio. One is called Voices Carry for Animals on Tuesday nights, hosted by Debbie Dahmer. And the other show is hosted by our producer, Marty Oakley, on Thursday nights, and it's called Whistleblowers. Both of them are very interesting shows, so if you get a chance to listen on any other nights, do so. And I'd like to thank our producer, Marty Oakley, for all she does. And thanks to our listeners. Thank you. So we'll talk next show, and thanks for tuning in tonight, everybody.
And thank you, RT.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, RT, for providing the blog that lets everybody know about it.
Yeah, we will. And we'll keep everybody posted. Go and share links to the Hallelujah Horses Facebook. Help get the word out. Thanks a lot,
thank
everybody.
You.
Good night. Okay,
thank you,
Debbie.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.